I'd like to read tonight, in the opening part of the meeting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And we'll read at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. That will suffice for our reading tonight, and trust the Lord will help for a few moments in the opening part of this meeting. I want to think very simply of this, at least part of the verse that we read tonight, of one of these verses, how that Christ died for our sins. So that's very simple. That's the text that I would like to use tonight, briefly. Christ died for our sins. That's a text that I suppose most of the boys that attend Sunday school or go to meetings, the boys or the girls here tonight, would be able to quote by heart that section of this text, Christ died for our sins. I want to think of it tonight in five ways. I want to think of it as a message that is preached. Paul says, this is a message, or this is a, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. So it's a message that is preached. Then I want to think of it as a message that is plain. It's a plain message. The message of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, is a plain message. Very simple. And we trust tonight that we might make it simple, or keep it simple, so that even the youngest tonight might understand the truth of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. I think of it as a personal message. It's very personal, the message of the gospel. I think of the message of the gospel that is a powerful message. The message of the gospel, when it's preached, God using His word, friend, is a powerful message. For it blasts men and women and boys and girls out of the quarry of their sin, out of a life of sin, and changes their life and brings them into the good of the knowledge of sins forgiven. So it's a powerful message, the message of the gospel. But then it's a peacemaking message, for it brings peace into the life of the individual, peace between God and man, that peace that has been broken by sin, and that is restored again through the preaching of the gospel. The Bible tells us that it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And you know, a person that believes the message of the gospel is brought into that near relationship again with God. That separation that has taken place because of sin in the Garden of Eden, the very first man created by God, created by the hand of God, the very first man, and God would come down and commune with that man in the garden, and they enjoyed fellowship. Adam enjoyed fellowship with God in the garden. And of course, God made a helpmeet for Adam, brought along a woman. The first operation, took a rib from the side of Adam and made a woman, and brought the man and the woman together in the garden. And they enjoyed fellowship with God. That fellowship that was nothing to mar and nothing to hinder and nothing to hurt was enjoyed between man and God. But one day something came into that garden that broke that fellowship. And when God came down in the cool of the evening, as he had done many times before, why, Adam and Eve were not to be found. That's why we read in the book of Genesis, the Lord called out, God called, Adam, where art thou? Although God knew where Adam was, for God knows all things. God knows every thought that every boy here in this front row tonight, every thought that you think, God knows every thought. Every word that you've ever spoken, God knows every word. One man has said that God sees the darkest ant on the darkest rock on the darkest night. And God in heaven sees everything. And he hears everything. And he knows everything. All about us, every one of us, from the speaker right to the back of this building tonight. But you know, as God called, he says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hiding from God. Do you know why Adam was hiding from God? He hadn't hid from God before. He wasn't trying to get in amongst the trees of the garden so that the Lord God couldn't find him before. But he had sinned against God. He had done what God told him not to do. And Adam, friend, in the garden, by one act of disobedience, brought down condemnation on the whole world. For he sinned against God. He had sinned and God drove him out of the garden. And wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Friend, if you was to tell me tonight that you could get to heaven apart from the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, why, you would have to prove to me that you've never sinned. For it's only a person that has never sinned that could go to heaven apart from the death of the Lord Jesus. But my Bible tells me that every person, no difference, there is no difference, for all have sinned. Whether it's the East Coast where we come from, or whether it's the West Coast here, throughout the whole land, friend, God just declares that there is no difference. All have sinned. Because of Adam's sin in the garden, friend, every person from Adam down was born in sin. That's what the Bible tells us. Born in sin. And so that's why there's the need of the gospel being preached. Man's sin that has separated us from God. It matters not the type of life a person lives. You know, there's good degrees as far as the world is concerned. We know that. All we have to do is read the paper, and we see what some individuals in this world, how they live and how they think. And some individuals, we could hardly enter into some of the things that they think about doing. And not only think about it, but they carry out things that would almost make us sick when we think about some of the terrible things that happen in this world. And even in our own communities around. Do you know why? That's a result of sin in a person's life. And that man that commits those crimes, or that woman that commits those crimes, the Bible says that he's a sinner. But you know, the Bible also says, for the person that goes to church every Sunday, and the person that maybe takes a sacrament, or maybe is baptized. Whatever the case, they're a good citizen in the community, a good person in the country, an honest man, pays 100 cents on every dollar and so on. But the Bible declares that person is also a sinner. That there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so one day in my life, I had to take my place alongside a friend, the very worst person that this world could produce. And I had to acknowledge, as that man is a sinner, David, you are a sinner. As that woman is a sinner, no matter how we might look down upon that person, that man or the woman, we might look down our nose upon them, and God has declared they're a sinner, and their life is proving it and backing it up. I had to take my place alongside of those people and acknowledge before God, David, I'm just a guilty sinner. And friend, I acknowledge it tonight. In 1969, as a young man, I faced my sin. I was without God and without hope, perhaps even worse than some of those people. Brought up in a Christian home, my mom and dad both saved. People that prayed for my soul, that I might get saved. People that were interested in seeing me saved. In fact, Mr. Howard comes to mind just now, one night in a meeting, I was so interested in the gospel that I would come to a gospel meeting, I'd sit down at the back, and after the singing of the hymns, of course, I'd go to sleep. You know, that just went on and on for a long time. One night in the gospel meeting, wouldn't be quite as big a crowd as this, but Mr. Howard was preaching, and he says, David, he says, wake up. He says, it's for you that we're preaching. It's on your account that we're preaching. Well, I woke up. I needed to wake up. But you know, I didn't really appreciate being woke up like that. How would you like your name called out in a meeting like this tonight? If we knew your name and called your name out in the meeting, I'm sure you'd leave this meeting probably with a different attitude than you come in, same way I did. I left that meeting vowing that I'd never come back again. They'd never see me again in the gospel hall because my pride had been hurt and I was, you know how you'd feel? But anyway, my dad never said a word. Going home, never said a word to me. Didn't have to, I guess. But you know what I thought about later on, down the road a ways, just the same? You know what I thought about? I recognized, friend, that man preaching the gospel had more interest in my soul than I had in my own soul. I was sound asleep, listening in a gospel meeting on the broad road we heard about going down to hell. Friend, just as fast as every tick of the clock could take me, I was going to eternity.
and time again, just that close to eternity. Over and over again, just a hair's breadth from being ushered into eternity in my sin, a life of sin. And my mom and dad, Christians, and brought up under the sound of the gospel for most of my life at least. My, I was worse than that sinner that never heard the gospel. That woman that you see, that you look down your eyes upon, friend, I was far worse than that woman. Far worse than the man that never heard the gospel, for I was more responsible. The Bible says if deeper down than Tyre and Sidon, one has said, shall the Christ rejecter go? And I knew the gospel and was willfully rejecting the gospel, knowing, friend, that I should have been saved. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you know you should be saved tonight. You've been rejecting the gospel maybe for years. Maybe you've been going on in your, you know, just the way life is, you've been going on now for a year, I don't know how many years, and you look back over your life, and you know that you should be saved, and there's been times that you even thought about getting saved. If you were to ask me, friend, there was never a time that I would ever say that I didn't intend to get saved or want to get saved. No, I'd never say that. I'd be afraid to say it. In fact, one night I was faced with it in the meeting. I brought this friend of mine to meeting, and I thought if she could get saved, then I'd get saved, and life would be so rosy, right? I had it all figured out in my mind how we was going to handle this situation, or how I was going to handle this situation. So she came to the meeting, and she listened to the gospel. She must have. She said after the meeting, later on, she said, do you believe that those men are preaching? Well, if I said yes, maybe she didn't like it. And then, of course, there'd be some problems there. And if I said no, then I thought, well, God is hearing, listening. And I can't say no. So I said yes. Well, she said, I can't believe what those men are preaching. She said, if I believe what those men said tonight in that meeting, then my dad is in hell. I tell you, friend, that she heard something in the meeting. She was listening. And she weighed up in that meeting. Her dad that I'd seen many a night, down on his knees beside a chair, a man that was dying with cancer. And I heard that man on different occasions when we'd walk into the house. I heard that man praying, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. And he was suffering. And visited him in the hospital as a friend and saw some of the suffering of that man. And heard that man crying to God, even in the hours of the morning, crying to God for mercy. Well, I want to tell you, friend, I could tell that girl. I knew enough to tell that girl, you don't know that. Nobody knows that. We can't say for sure. Why, I heard that man pray and ask God for mercy, and God is a God of mercy. No matter who the person is, no matter what his background is, no matter what religion he might call himself, God's salvation is not in a religion, friend. God's salvation is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who died on the cross of Calvary. The man who shed his blood. The man who laid down his life. The man who suffered and bled and died at the place called Calvary. Friend, that's where salvation is tonight. Well, almost forgot my thought. I said to her, yes, I believe it. Well, I'll tell you, that made a difference as far as I was concerned. Because I came to the place then that this was going to be the most important thing in my life. I had to weigh it up. Is it going to be friendship? Or is it going to be salvation? Is it going to be the girlfriend? Or is it going to be God's salvation? Which is it going to be, David? And we'd all had a few years behind us then. In fact, we're making arrangements for other things. Is it going to be God's salvation? Or is it going to be the friend? And I made a choice that night, and I said, oh God, I said in my heart, I said, oh God, if you'll save me, if there's salvation for me, that's what I want with all my heart. And I want to tell you, friend, tonight, I'm glad of that choice in my life. I needed it. I needed God's salvation. Christ died for our sins. Well, anyway, there's some stayed behind, different ones stayed behind at after gospel meetings and talked to the preachers, and some got saved. Talking with the preacher. So I thought I'd stay behind one night and talk to the preacher. So when I got to the door, of course, then I got cold feet and I went on. And he never guessed that I was even thinking about getting saved. Anyway, the next night, that was a miserable night. I punched a miserable night that night. And the next night, when I come back, because I thought going out, you know, if I stay behind tonight, I can just hear. Guess who stayed behind tonight?
guess who must be interested in getting saved? There you go, the pride again of the heart and the devil working. But the next night, you know, I said to myself, I don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks, I want to be saved. So we came up to the front, Mr. Holder. I wanted to get the other fellow, but I got Mr. Holder. And he brought me up to the front of the building, and he said to me, and this is why I tell this, he said to me, he said, David, he said, would you like to be saved? I said to him afterwards, I asked him why he thought I stayed behind. One time we was having a few meetings. But I said to him, yes, I would. But then he asked me something that makes all the difference in the world. And friend, I ask you that tonight. Would you like to be saved in this meeting tonight? And I dare say there's not one person that would say no to that. Any wise person, anyway, would never say, no, I don't want to be saved. But he said something that separates the real and the unreal. He said, when would you like to be saved? And I'll tell you, friend, that makes a difference. That makes all the difference in the world. When would you like to be saved? And we could ask you that tonight. When, friend, would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved? When would you like to be saved? And I said to Mr. Holder, I said, I'd like to be saved right now. I'd like to be saved tonight. I don't think he believed me. But of course, I was thinking the preacher was going to do it. He wrote down a few verses and sent me home. And I thought he was going to say something or read something or do something. And I was going to get saved. But friends, salvation is not in the preacher. You got to get past the preacher. You got to get past the Christians. You got to get past everything and every person as far as this life is concerned and get to Christ. And if you don't get to Christ, friend, you'll never get God's salvation. Thankful, the next morning, that's the person I found. I found the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. John 3, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Well, you say, how could you get saved through that verse? Very simple. It was just as simple, friend, as could be. You know what I found out? When I thought of that verse, it wasn't a verse Mr. Holder had written down even. I'd come to a time, I'd closed my Bible, and I'd tossed it on the other end of the little bed that I was sleeping in, and a thought came to me, David, destined for hell. You'll just have to go to hell. Can't get saved. Rejected it too long, too many years in your life, turned your back against it. Now when you want it, it's not for you. And I thought, I'll just have to go to hell. I want to tell you, friend, that's a dark moment. But you know something, the truth of John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. And I thought, well, that's me. God didn't send the Lord Jesus into this world to condemn me, to send me to hell, friend. I'd condemn myself, but that's not why Christ came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when I took my place as a sinner, when I faced the eternity, friend, of my portion, as far as this, as eternity was concerned, you know what happened? God saved me by His grace. And I'm thankful tonight. Do you think I regret? Getting saved? Ever regret getting saved? Why, friend, when a person gets God's salvation, why, could you put a price on it? Could we put a price on your salvation? There's no price. Could we put on God's salvation? It is free, friend, it is free for every person for the taking. It is not a cheap salvation. I want you to understand that is not cheap. Why, it cost God His Son. It cost the Lord Jesus His life. And the sufferings of Calvary, the darkness that He entered into, and the sufferings that He endured at Calvary, friend, our little minds couldn't even begin to comprehend when that load of sin was laid upon Him, when God the Father laid upon the Lord Jesus at Calvary, the weight, friend, the penalty, the punishment of your sin and of my sin, of the sin of the whole world, that He bore at the place called Calvary. We couldn't even begin to understand or enter into what He suffered, what He endured. But I tonight, friend, I just rest upon what God has declared, that the work of Christ on the cross was sufficient to meet my need. And if I, as a guilty sinner, accept the provision that He made for me, then He would save me. And I don't have to go to hell. Is there anyone tonight in this meeting who would like to be saved tonight? Tonight? That's the kind of people that get saved. Those that would like to get saved tonight. So I think if it's a message that's preached, preached all over the world, preached in every language, preached in every tongue, the necessity
of preaching. Why is it so necessary? Christ died for our sins. Did he die for your sins, friend? I think of a young man tonight. Whenever I think of this verse and some other verses, I think of a young man 15 years of age. Attended some gospel meetings. Mr. Bingham was one of the men having the meetings. And Brother Sam Patton from Ontario was the other man down in Nova Scotia. Well, this young fellow, 15 years of age, attended these meetings in the springtime. And one night, he came back to the meeting, on a night for the meeting, and he said to these men, he says, "I got saved last night at home." He said, "I got saved, 15 years of age." Well, that was good news. They were glad to hear that he had gotten saved. Anyway, meetings came, meetings went. The summer came, and this boy was walking down one side of the Trans-Canada Highway, and his brother was on the other side of the Trans-Canada Highway, and he was going to cross the road to where his brother was. And there was a transport truck coming, hurling down the highway, and so he stops to wait for the transfer truck to go by, and when the truck goes by, he steps out onto the road to cross to where his brother is, and he never seen a pickup truck that was coming behind the transfer, and he just took one step out, and when he stepped out, that truck smacked into him, and that boy at 15 years of age was just hurled out into eternity. Smashed on the side of that road. Well, we went into the funeral home, and Dad is sitting there, and Mom is sitting there, and their hearts are broken, and not much wonder. But do you know something? Do you know what mattered at that time? They go back to a moment when that boy of 15 years of age, just weeks before, not long before, came one night and said to them, "I got saved last night, and I want to tell you, friend, that changed the everything. That made a big difference as far as that sad circumstance was concerned." And when I think of the message preached, I want to ask you tonight, wasn't it a good thing that that boy got saved when the meetings came that spring? Wasn't it a wise choice that that young man made, 15 years of age? Why, he didn't know what lied before him down the road. He didn't know that he had only about weeks to live and he was going into eternity. Isn't it a good thing, as I looked into the face of that boy, I thought to myself, isn't it a good thing this boy was wise enough to face eternity and to get God's salvation? I wonder. Friend, you don't know what lies before you tonight. That's why the gospel needs to be preached. Men and women are going to eternity. Some in this meeting tonight, friends, you're facing eternity, maybe far sooner than ever you dream of. Eternity is on your track. Death is on your track. That's because of sin. If you could tell me, friend, that you've never sinned, then you could tell me you'll never die. And you know so well as I do that every one of us represent a funeral here tonight. That's why you need to be saved. You don't never know what's going to take place. Preach. And so there's the necessity of the preaching of the gospel. It's a plain message. You know, it's a simple message. The youngest boy in this meeting tonight could get God's salvation. That's a good thing about God's salvation. Boys and girls tonight in this meeting, you need God's salvation. You need to be saved. Old enough to understand your need of being saved. Why, it's a great thing to get saved when you're young. It's a great time to get saved when you're a young boy or a young girl. It's a simple message. Christ died for our sins. You could understand, everyone could quote that here tonight. Christ died for our sins. A plain message. God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died, friend, at Calvary for our sins. And that takes me in tonight. Does that take you in tonight, man? Did he die for your sins? Woman tonight, did Christ die for your sins? Boy or girl tonight, did Christ die for your sins? It's a plain message. It's a personal message. He died for your sins. The person sitting on your chair, friend, is the person that Christ died for. It's a peacemaking message. It's a powerful message. And we trust that someone tonight in this meeting will just stop in the way that you're going and accept God's remedy for your sin. That peace between you and God tonight would be made through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through
our Lord Jesus Christ. As this meeting continues, friend, don't put it off. Make it yours tonight. Remember, tomorrow could be one day too late.